Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Metaphysical Hour. And today is February the 19th, and I'm Julia Cannon, and with me is Shonda Garrison.
Whoop, whoop.
Yep, and we have a fantastic show tonight planned for you with a wonderful guest. But before we get onto that, I want to make some announcements as to what's coming up and what all's going on, because we never rest here. So before we get to our very special guest, Sunday, we leave for
Peru.
Yes, we do.
Lima.
Yes, very, very excited about that. So where we will be doing our QHHT classes, we'll be doing level two, and then our new companion level one class. And then our tour.
Yes, to Machu Picchu.
Yes, very excited about that. So if anybody would like to join us on the tour or any of the classes, come on. We still have some room, so be really happy to have you join us. The information is on DoloresCannon.com, mm-hmm. QHHTOfficial.com.
Yep.
You can probably link to it from OzarkMT.com. Just go anywhere. Or the Facebook pages will link over to it. They have information. I mean, just anywhere. Hey, just plug in QHHT and you'll find information about it. My Julia Cannon Soul Speak, we've been advertising it for quite a while, so it has mm-hmm. all kinds of information on it. QHHT Facebook page has information.
Yep.
So, hey, just anywhere you'll have information on it. And then after that, in April... Make sure I'm not missing anything here. April, we have our conferences coming up. Thus, that'll be our segue into our guest tonight. But in we have first our transformation conference from the 5th to the 7th. And then our UFO conference from the 8th to the 10th. So that's what we're doing new this year, is we're putting them back to back. And that is really, really exciting to have it all right there together, so you can come to one or both. So, and if you do, oh my gosh, they each have 11 speakers. And if you come to both, wow. Wow.
Prepare for mind explosion.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, and it's all being held in Eureka Springs, Arkansas. And so anybody that knows Eureka Springs, well, tell them a little bit about Eureka Springs.
Oh, man. Eureka Springs is a little esoteric community built right in the foothills of the Ozark Mountains. The city itself is very diverse. Stuff from all over and all sorts of different cultures. It's just amazing.
Well, they like to call it that. It's known as Little Switzerland because it's built on the mountain. I mean, right on the hillside.
Oh yeah,
and
you wonder how houses don't fall off the hillside because mm-hmm. they're built just right up into it.
Right, it's just gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. And the UFO conference has been there. This is its 29th year. It's always been there. And many of the shops that are there are crystals and, like you said, esoteric. I mean, it's just really gorgeous. So it was just a natural fit for us to move the transformation conference over there and then just join the two together. So this is new that we're trying to do that, because it was a lot of work to put two conferences on separately, the way we were doing it. And it was just something we're trying to put them, you know, back to back, just to see how it goes. So I hope you enjoy it, that we're doing it this way, and we'll support it, because, you know, we'll just see how it goes. I hope so. Anyway.
Okay.
I know, like, if you can come to both of them, like you said, mind explosion. Oh my gosh, what a fantastic experience it will be. So we'll go from there. So anyway, so our I'm going to give you the call-in number for tonight. If you have any questions for our guest tonight, and the call-in number is 1-888-627-6008. That's 1-888-627-6008. Now, tonight's guest happens to be our keynote speaker for the Transformation Conference. We're so excited to have you, Susan. And this is Susan Weed. And I have to tell you, Shonda is probably one of your biggest fans, and she has been dancing around here, and she has been, she's been actually dancing, and she's been on cloud nine. And she's one of the major reasons, you know, getting you here and stuff, and so excited to have you here and everything. And so, we're really proud and really glad to have you on board and as one of the speakers. And so welcome to the show, Susan.
Green blessings to you and to everyone who's with us.
Yes. And thank you. What I like to do, Susan, is, you know, because we all come from so many varied backgrounds and everything to get to our place. Our journeys are so varied. You know, we don't just appear. We aren't just born into where we are and what we're doing. And I would like you to kind of share your journey of what brought you to where you are, because you're into, you know, the herbs and everything. And you know, you're known as wise woman. Everything's the wise woman tradition and the wise woman, you know, using the weeds and everything. But how did you get to that point, and what brought you there? What, how did it all start? You know, how did it go?
You know, like most of us, I was brought up with modern medicine. There was a big, exciting day every year where you got new underwear and were taken for your yearly physical. Right. And the doctor taught me some of the most important things that I ever learned about health. The first one was that the doctor would examine me and then turn to my mother and say, "She's in perfect health." So it was very clear to me that I had nothing at all to do with my health.
Okay, yeah.
It's in the hands of mommy, daddy, God.
Good point.
And I didn't have to do anything at all. And then after proclaiming me to be in wonderful health, the doctor would give me a shot. And so I realized that in order to maintain your health, you have to use drugs.
Okay.
Now, in a way, I'm being facetious, and yet I'm not.
Right.
Because if we look, this is how most people approach their health care.
Absolutely.
I don't have to do anything about it. Mommy, daddy, Dr. God is going to take care of it.
Mm-hmm. They're going to fix me.
And I have to use drugs. Mm-hmm. So that's how I was brought up, and it didn't turn out so well for me.
Okay.
It didn't turn out so well for me in several ways. Now, I was born at the very edge of the baby boomers in 1946. And so, you know, drugs were miracles. Penicillin was a miracle. We were going to eliminate disease. We all loved drugs. We thought drugs were really going to do it for us. And I was at UCLA. And there was a woman there in the lunchroom. She looked incredibly old. She must have been maybe 30. And nowadays, there's people of a lot of ages on campuses. But when I was at college, back in the 60s, there wasn't a diversity of ages on campus. And being a very curious and rather forthright person, I went over to her and I said, "What's an old woman like you doing here at UCLA?" And she said, "I'm here for a career change." And I said, "Well, what career do you have that's so terrible that you have to change it?" She said, "Public health nurse." And I said, "Doesn't sound so awful." She said, "Well, if I see one more young woman in kidney failure because of the antibiotics she's given for bladder infections, I can't stand it." And I said, "I have a lot of bladder infections. And I've been given antibiotics all of my life. And they turn my urine orange." And she said, that's the one that destroys your kidneys. And it's not shocking news here in 2016, but it was shocking news in 1964. Incredibly shocking news that a drug that was going to save my life was actually injuring me.
Right.
then the very next year, I started taking birth control pills. And at the end of the first month, I said to the people that I'd gotten them from, you know, I think I might be pregnant. They said, did you take a pill every day? I said, yeah, I took a pill every day. That's it. Then you can't be pregnant. Why do you think you're pregnant? I said, well, I gained 5 pounds. They said, side effect of the pills. I said, look at my breasts. They said, side effect of the pills. I said, and you know, my menses, they were, they said, side effect of the pills.
Side effect, yeah.
Have some more. So I took another month. At the end of that month, I said, I think I might be pregnant. Because I gained 5 pounds and my breasts are bigger. And they said, no, side effect of the pills. Well, this went on for 5 months.
My goodness.
I was a teenager. I didn't know. I had no idea. And all of the authorities, mommy, daddy, Dr. God, were telling me I wasn't pregnant, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I believed them until I was 5 and a half months pregnant.
Oh my gosh.
And there were no sonograms, and no one had any idea what taking birth control pills while you were pregnant would do.
Mm-hmm.
However, I opened the newspaper, and there were pictures of thalidomide babies. Mm. A drug that had been given to pregnant women that caused them to have babies without arms and without legs. And it was that morning that I vowed not to put any drugs into my body while I was pregnant or lactating, and probably not for the rest of my life.
Wow.
Yeah, it just certainly wasn't worth it to me. So like many people who come to the end of their rope with modern medicine, which I call the scientific tradition, they go off looking for alternative medicine. And what they find is the heroic tradition. Now, in the scientific tradition, we measure. And if you measure up, good, and if you don't, we'll fix you. In the heroic tradition, we're not so interested in measuring you because we already know what's wrong with you. You're filthy.
Okay.
You have to cleanse. Everything that's wrong with you is because of toxins.
Mm-hmm.
And if you will cleanse all those toxins out of your body, you will get better.
Right.
And you must also come to balance.
Yeah.
You must seek balance, and you must be balanced. So we're attracted to alternative medicine because it seems like a better choice. Hey, I don't want to be fixed. I want to be balanced and cleansed. However, we can't do either of those things with a living system. Suppose I came down to the Ozarks and we went out and we picked up every leaf and every stick off an acre of forest floor.
Mm-hmm.
We would have cleansed it, wouldn't we?
Right.
And what would the result be?
It would be empty.
It would be damaged, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So when we use the word cleanse in reference to any living system, we have to understand that it's code for damage and destroy.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Because there is nothing toxic or dirty in any living system. There's only one rule here on planet Earth. I eat you and you eat me.
Okay.
It's all food, isn't it?
Absolutely.
If we were locked in a room with our own carbon dioxide, we'd die.
Right.
But without our carbon dioxide, the plants don't breathe.
Right.
If they were locked in a room with their oxygen, they'd die. Without their oxygen, we would die. Everything on this planet that isn't usable by one thing becomes the food of the next thing. So cleansing has, in fact, turned our planet into a trash heap, hasn't it?
Right. Yes.
Because once we start to think cleanse, then something becomes trash. Instead of understanding that it's a cycle and it's always food. Mm-hmm. As for balance, please breathe in. You are wonderfully balanced. That is so fantastic. That is great. Just keep breathing in because, you know, if you breathe out, you'll be unbalanced. See, balance is the step that immediately precedes death. There is no balance, and striving for balance simply means we have nailed our foot to the floor and are going around in circles. Think about it. We believe that it all started with a big bang. bang, and all of space and all of time and all of matter were all evenly distributed across the entire cosmos. And so nothing could happen. About 0.0004 milliseconds into this event, there was a perturbation. And that perturbation started the cosmic dance. How do you dance? How do you walk? You have to let go of balance, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So long as you are balanced, you cannot move. So the heroic tradition seems to offer us something better, but it turns out to offer us two things we can't ever achieve.
Okay.
That we should be clean and we should be balanced. And unfortunately, in order to be clean or balanced, we have to give up being human. And so there's lots of rules in the heroic traditions, aren't there? And whether the rule is, you know, only eat brown rice, or the rule is only drink carrot juice. Mm-hmm. Right? Whatever, you're going to find a lot of rules in the heroic tradition. We could say that the scientific tradition is run by fear.
Yes.
Why get a mammogram? Because you could have breast cancer. Right? That when Eastman Kodak first said, we're going to start putting mammograms out, a radiation specialist said women will not expose their breasts to ionizing radiation, which causes cancer. And Eastman Kodak said, don't worry, we'll scare them into it. I hope you haven't been scared into it.
Oh, I have not.
Good.
No, don't do it.
We see that fear drives the scientific tradition, but blame and shame and guilt drive the heroic tradition.
Yeah.
We take the idea that we create our own reality to the absurd end, to believe that if there's something wrong with us, we create it, that's something wrong with us. And that if there continues to be something, then we're at fault. Mm-hmm. I was talking with my friend, my dear friend. I've known her for 35 years. And 27 years ago, she was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis.
Okay.
She has refused all medical treatment and is in a wheelchair, but that's not too bad for 27 years. After a diagnosis of multiple sclerosis. And she said, you know, this disease is an entity in and of itself. Mm-hmm. It's an actual living thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like that understanding that she is not blaming herself for this. So if we have had enough of blame and shame and guilt, and I can see that both of you have, and I'm hoping that everyone who's with us has also had enough of blame and shame and guilt, then we will find the wise woman tradition. The wise woman tradition offers to nourish the wholeness of the unique individual. And rather than fear or blame and shame and guilt, the emotion of the wise woman tradition is self-love and self-acceptance. So far as I know, all of the spiritual texts of any kind that I have read tell me that I, as a human being, have been created in the image of perfection. Mm-hmm. Have you read differently? Do you think differently?
Not at all.
That seems to be the going belief there, right?
Right.
This is a multicultural belief, too. We're not just talking about, this is how white people think, or this is how red people, or yellow people, or black people, or any color. No, this seems to be part of what Carl Jung might call the collective unconscious.
Correct.
This idea that we are inherently and already perfect. So I ask myself, if I'm already perfect, what's in between me and manifesting that perfection? My answer is nutrition. Not just thought, but nutrition. Suppose that Shonda came to visit me. Mm-hmm. I said, Shonda, there's so many people coming. There's so many people coming for the workshop this weekend, and we don't have enough seating. Can you help me make some seating? And I'm sure that she would say yes. I'd say, well, let's see. Well, here's some boards over here. Okay, you know, they've been out in the weather uncovered, and they're kind of splintery and old, but we'll get a saw, and we'll saw off the ends. We'll make it okay. Here's my saw. Okay, it's true. I haven't sharpened it in 10 years, and some of the teeth are broken, but it'll work, and now we have to nail them together. Let's see. We're going to, oh, over there is a can half full of water and some rusty bent nails. We can use those. And here's my hammer. We better put some tape around the grip of it because it's kind of coming apart. Well, you know, Shonda and I, being resourceful women, we could make benches out of that material, couldn't we?
Right.
But how much easier if I said, oh, Shonda, there's so many people coming this weekend. I don't have enough seating. Here's my credit card. Go buy a couple of benches.
Yeah.
Most people eat as per example one. Instead of giving themselves a credit card. Now, the credit card is Nourishing Herbal Infusions. And Nourishing Herbal Infusions is really at the heart of my teaching, because what I know is that it's incredibly hard to change what you eat. There's a lot of reasons for eating what we eat. And just deciding that you're going to change, you know, that might work for a while. But it's generally only for a while. So what I wanted was a way to offer people optimum nutrition without having to change what they eat. So instead, I figured I'd change what they drink.
Okay.
All right. Often, if I'm, you know, speaking to a large group and I'm at a lectern and they'll have water there for me, I'll pick up the water, I'll look at it, and I'll say, oh, water, I don't drink that.
Okay.
Because I don't. Who would bother drinking water when you have Nourishing Herbal Infusions to drink? Mm-hmm. Nourishing Herbal Infusions provide all of the vitamins, minerals, and a host of thousands of other antioxidant and very important constituents in a pre-digested form. Mm-hmm. So no matter what is going on with your body, the nutrition in a Nourishing Herbal Infusion is instantly available.
Sounds wonderful.
Shonda, have you been making infusions?
No, I have not. I'm smacking my hand for not.
No shame or guilt.
Right. This is not about shame and guilt. Right? You haven't, because it hasn't been the right time for you. Maybe this conversation tonight will, you know, get you into it. And especially if you think, and Susan's going to be coming here. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we had some Nourishing Herbal Infusion to give to Susan, since she doesn't drink water?
Yeah, so I didn't know anything about it. Yeah,
that's a time to practice up and make
I didn't know anything about it, so I would love to know more about it.
In all of my books, I see she has the Green Book. Of course, I've written 5 books. And also, I have a YouTube channel. And okay. There's over 225 YouTubes of me identifying plants in the field, harvesting them, preparing them, working with them. And we just recently did a series about Nourishing Herbal Infusions.
Okay.
So you can go to that YouTube channel and you can see me and my gorgeous granddaughter, Monica Jean. They're making Nourishing Herbal Infusions.
Basically, all right. I know you were talking
most
about.
Of us are familiar with herbal teas.
Okay.
Which we take a small amount. Fresh or dried herb, put it into a cup, pour boiling water over it, let it steep for a few minutes, and then drink it. We've all made mint tea or rosehip tea. It's very common kind of thing, and teas are wonderful. Nothing against teas. However, we aren't able to actually extract minerals and other healing constituents from such brief brewing.
Okay.
And, well, quantity counts. Size might not count, but quantity counts. Suppose I said, I'm going to improve my diet, and the way I'm going to improve my diet is by eating a slice of carrot every day.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You're shrugging like, yeah. Is that real? A slice of carrot?
Well, depends on the size of the slice.
Right. Well, it's not, still doesn't count as much, does it?
It'd be a really big slice, you know.
Right. You know, say, Susan, get real. You got to eat a carrot if you really want to make a change. A slice of carrot won't do it. So a cup of tea is nice, but it's not enough herb.
Right.
when we're really talking about nutrition. To make a nourishing herbal infusion, first of all, we're only going to use dried herb.
Okay.
Never fresh. Secondly, we are going to weigh it. It's a weight measurement, which is 1 ounce, so you'll need a scale of some kind. All right. Office supply stores sell very nice scales, or kitchen supply stores, usually pretty inexpensive, usually around between $20, $25 for a scale. If you get one with a T-A-R-E function, you can just put your bowl right on there and push the T-A-R-E tear, and then put your herb in. It'll take away the weight of the bowl, so it makes it easier to measure. So we're going to weigh out 1 ounce of herb, and meanwhile, we're boiling water. We're going to put that 1 ounce of herb into a quart canning jar. Some people call them a mason jar or a ball jar. And then we're going to fill that jar right up to the top with boiling water. I prefer to use a canning jar because when you pour boiling water into it, that glass has been tempered to not shock. If you reuse like a juice jar or something like that and pour boiling water into it, it can burst catastrophically. All right. So if you do it in your sink so that you don't get hot water and glass all over your kitchen. But other than that, use a canning jar, and that shouldn't happen. So we've got 1 ounce of dried herb. We put it into a 1 quart jar. We filled that jar to the top with boiling water. Now we're going to put a lid on it. I was visiting my friend Betsy, and there was a smack in the door frame as you came into her kitchen. And it was about 6 inches higher than you would make in a wheelchair. But it was the kind of smack that a wheelchair would make as it gets a little too close to the frame and just takes a little divot of wood out there. And I said, do you have a giant friend in a wheelchair, this super large wheelchair? And she says, no, that's where I hit my jar of infusion every morning to get the lid off. Because you put boiling water in there, and if you put a one-part lid on it, it's going to vacuum seal. This will be very hard. So use the two-part lid, right? It doesn't have to be a new one.
Okay.
Right, but you know what I mean with the flat metal piece and then the band that goes on it. That we can get the band off and you pull that metal piece off. Mm-hmm. So we've got 1 ounce of dried herb in a quart jar filled at the top with boiling water, a tight lid put on it, and that's now allowed to steep for at least 4 hours. Overnight is fine. And that's what I usually do. I usually make my infusion last thing at night. Right, put it up, turn off the light, and go to sleep. First thing in the morning, I strain it out, squeezing the plant material to get all the good out of it, refrigerate the liquid, and then drink that liquid throughout the day.
Okay.
A very clever marketing person found a U.S. Army study where they were looking at what amount of fluid a person needed. And the study found that an average person needed 2 quarts of fluid a day. You've probably heard this. It's been advertised widely. Okay. What you didn't hear was the real study, which said 1 quart comes from your food.
Yeah, there's controversies about where that water comes from, yes.
The other quart, everything you drink counts, even coffee.
Yeah, they're always trying to say, no, it needs to be just water, but no, that will be a relief to so many people.
Very clever advertising ploy. Last year, I had an apprentice who was a physical trainer, and the woman had, like, a water bottle glued to her thigh, and she's like, and, I let them, have their things, for a little while, 48 hours, and then I said to her, okay, turn in your water bottle. She said, what? I said, in the Catskills, it's humid, like where you are, right?
Oh, absolutely. It's so humid here.
It's so humid. I said, you're swimming in it. Give me the water bottle. I said, nope. Less fluid, you are going to feel better, right? A week later, she says to me, oh my gosh, I have so much more stamina and so much more energy. I was washing myself away. I said, yeah. So nourishing herbal infusions, a quart a day is a good amount to drink. The apprentices aren't allowed to drink anything until their quart of infusion has been drunk.
Okay, then how do you determine what herbs?
Well, I rotate through 5 different herbs that I like. And what we want are non-aromatic herbs. We use those for teas. So we don't want mint or lavender or lemon balm or catnip. We don't want anything that has a smell to it. And we want herbs that are high in protein and very high in minerals. One of my favorites is stinging nettle.
Okay.
It's a plant that's easy to grow, easy to find. It's available at very reasonable price. An ounce of a stinging nettle will usually cost between 50 cents and a dollar. So okay. If you were to drink a quart of stinging nettle infusion every day for a month, that would cost you $30. And you would get more vitamins, more minerals, and more other constituents than you would from taking a supplement, which is going to cost far, far more than that.
Absolutely, yeah.
As a matter of fact, one of my apprentices went home to Kansas City and said, throw away your supplements, drink nourishing herbal infusions. And they said, uh-oh, she went to Woodstock and lost her mind. So she proposed this test, and it's a test that you can actually do if you want to, or you can just kind of think about what it would be. And the test is you get two houseplants that are the same. That's pretty easy to do. You go to any place that sells houseplants, and they're probably clones of each other if you buy two of the same kind of plant. Bring them home, and you treat them the same. If you go, I love you to one, you better go, I love you to the other one, too. The only difference is going to be that once a week, you will water one of them with nourishing herbal infusion, and the other one you'll water with water. Well, that's not fair. Okay, the other one you'll water with water in which you have dissolved one of every supplement that you take.
Oh.
Hmm. What do you suppose happens?
The one with the infusion grows bigger and brighter and stronger.
And the one with the supplements dies.
It dies?
It dies.
Oh, wow.
The largest study to date, studying the supplementation habits of 8 million people in North America and Europe, found that people who take supplements have just as much acute disease, just as much chronic disease, and the only difference is they die sooner. Throw away your supplements. Drink nourishing herbal infusions. You don't have to come to Woodstock and lose your mind. You can do it right at your own home. It's really wonderful to see what happens when people start drinking nourishing herbal infusions. Yes. One of the vignettes that is so in my heart comes from an apprentice who was here, and she told me she was very upset with me because I had made her M&M's taste terrible. Because when we start giving ourselves up the optimum nourishment of these nourishing herbal infusions, our taste buds really come back strong, and then it becomes impossible to eat rancid fat or hydrogenated things, or, you know, you actually start to taste your food. Yeah. And so, yes, Sneaky Susan has changed your diet, but not because of willpower, not because of anything I've said, but because of how your own body relates to the food that you put in it. Right. There's even better results from this. And I'll see if I can shorten the story up. It's kind of a long story.
That's great.
A woman wrote to me and she said, I need you to tell me if drinking these infusions could have impacted my bones.
Okay.
She said, when I was 59, my doctor said I had severe osteoporosis. And I basically refused to do anything. Over the next 3 years, I lost 3 inches in height.
Okay.
So her vertebrae were compressing and she was, you know, getting down. She said, didn't matter too much. I just hemmed up my pants and hemmed up my skirts. But what really got to me was by the time I was 64, I really felt like an old lady. I was so tired. I was dragging myself around. She said, and that was the year that my daughter graduated from her live-out apprenticeship with you. So I called her up and said, so what did you learn that can give your mother energy? So she suggested stinging nettle, the herb of energy. It has so much energy when you touch it, zick, it stings you.
Okay.
Wonderful daughter that she was, she got her mother 2-quart canning jars, a little strainer, all right, and a pound of nettle, and she divided it into 16 1-ounce baggies. Sent it all to her mom, and she said, Mom, you open a baggie, you put it in one of the jars, fill it to the top with boiling water, put the lid on, go to sleep. The next morning, you put the strainer in the other jar, pour it in, refrigerate that liquid, and that's what you drink.
Mm-hmm.
She says, so I started doing that. It seemed a little odd, but I started doing that. And she said, I must admit that within 2 weeks, I felt like I was 14. said I had so much energy. We often tease the apprentices who are here in their 20s and 30s. I am 70, that we'll give them a couple of weeks to catch up with me. So she loved how she felt drinking the stinging nettle infusion. And she said to her daughter, "So does that weed woman have any other herbs that you can drink like this?" And her daughter told her about other herbs that I use that way. And she wrote to me that this became her routine. Sunday night, she made a quart of nettle infusion and a quart of oat straw infusion. Okay. Monday morning, she strained the nettle infusion, refrigerated it, strained the oat straw, refrigerated it. Note that we're not mixing them. We're using single herbs for our infusion. And she drank those on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Wednesday night, she made a quart of nettle and a quart of red clover. Thursday morning, she strained the nettle, refrigerated it, strained the red clover, refrigerated it. And Thursday, Friday, Saturday, that's what she drank. Sunday, she said she took off. She did this for 2 years. And at the end of that time, she's now 66 years old. It's now 7 years past her diagnosis of severe osteoporosis. Her doctor says to her, "Your bone mass is now better than it was when you were 40. What are you doing?"
Yeah.
"Doctor, I'm not doing anything." She says, "So that's why I was writing to you. Is it possible these herbs I'm drinking to feel good could have had that effect on my bones?" Remember what I said. The minerals in the nourishing herbal infusions are available to you because the plant has been dried and because it has been steeped for over 4 hours. Those minerals are now instantly available to your body, like that credit card, to make benches to sit on, bones to stand in, whatever it is that we need. People tell me they go off their blood pressure drugs, they go off their anti-anxiety drugs, that the nutrients and the nourishing herbal infusions bring about change from small level to very large level without our forcing ourselves to do anything. Yes, it requires a small amount of effort to make the infusion, but really, how much effort are we talking about here? To weigh out 1 ounce of herb and to boil a quart of water?
Well, it's no different than preparing a, I mean, it's not even as much as preparing a meal.
Exactly. Right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, my daughter, who's very busy, gets 7 half-gallon jars. She puts nettle in one, oat straw in one, red clover in one, linden in one, cleavers in one, chickweed in one, violet leaf in one, right? Fills them all up to the top with boiling water, puts lids on them. When they're cooled to room temperature, she sticks them all in her refrigerator. She runs a bed and breakfast. She has enough room to put much liquid in a refrigerator. And she says she knows which ones to use first. In general, it's better to make just enough infusion to last for a day or two.
Okay.
Right, the woman in the story I was talking about, she made enough to last her for 3 days.
Okay.
And imagine how much faster she would have improved her bone mass if she'd been drinking a quart a day instead of 4 quarts a week. But even at 4 quarts a week, she was able to have that. So I do prefer to make it each night for the next day. But you can, you know, wiggle around that. And you don't have to make it in separate quart jars. If there's 5 people in your household, you don't have to have 5 separate jars. You can make it in a pot with 5 quarts of water and put the herb into the boiling water and then turn the fire off.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Right. And you'll see me mostly making the jar in the YouTubes. Mm-hmm. But you can make it for large, you know, we make it at the Green Goddess Apprentice Week. We make infusion for 15. So big, big vats of infusion that we're making. And our retreat down in Costa Rica, too. One of the major things that we do to help people really change how they're feeling is to serve them nourishing herbal infusion. Mm-hmm. It's the primary thing that they get to drink.
Oh, it sounds wonderful. And I notice all you behind you, I mean, our listening audience can't see you, but you have a lot of dried plants behind you. So is that, what do you have behind you?
That's a house plant.
Is that?
That was brought in. And that some of it died, right?
Okay. I was thinking maybe you had some things drying there.
Oh, that's I don't know if you can see it. That's my jasmine.
Oh, okay.
Right. And, of course, when it's 14 degrees below, the jasmine does not want to be outside.
Well, I don't blame it. I don't blame it at all.
With either. Live in the house with me, and then there's this other little plant. I think it's called a Wandering Jew.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Right. That's in the base of it, and when it comes in, you know, it starts to grow a different way.
Uh-huh.
It's been outside where it can grow, you know, all around, and then inside it just grows. That's why that's why I'm here where all these lights are, because the plants want that light. So it starts sure. growing in a different direction and drops the rest of it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, but, I mean, that's just so perfect.
I have a big deck and keep about 100 plants out there during the summer, and then I have to bring them all in the house with me in the wintertime.
Oh, yeah. See, but that's just so perfect, you know, just to be among your plants. Oh, that's wonderful.
So I'll be talking more about these three traditions of healing mm-hmm. when I'm there at the Ozark Mountain Transformation Conference. I will not be speaking at the UFO conference.
Right, right, yeah.
I will be nearby at the Fire Ohm Center.
Right, exactly. That'll be like the following, after the Transformation Conference, I think it'll be the following weekend, won't it? You'll be doing
exactly.
something there.
At the Transformation Conference is over what, on Thursday or Friday?
On Thursday.
And I'll be at Fire Ohm Friday and Saturday.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right, as well.
And then the UFO starts Friday?
It starts Friday, yes.
Right, yes.
Right. So, yeah, there's a lot of things happening in Eureka. It's the place to be.
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Well, what else can you tell me? This is all very, I love natural things and everything, and herbs and everything, but I've never heard of herbal infusions. So this is all very new to me.
It is.
It's fascinating, actually.
Yeah. You know, I say that there's an arc of herbalism. And that arc of herbalism runs from naked people rolling in the herbs and dermally absorbing them to a white-coated lab technician making a drug from a compound found in a plant. But it's all herbal medicine. Now, historically, that arc is that in the past, we were naked people rolling in the herbs, and in the present, we're the white-coated lab technicians. And I'm not against the drugs and the things that are made that way. Mm-hmm. But to me, alchemy is really the place that changed it. Before alchemy, we used herbal medicine, and after alchemy, we used herbal medicine, but we thought about it very differently. Before alchemy, the plants had an energy of their own. They were entities that we asked for help. And after alchemy, they became bundles of constituents that we could take apart. So they became more mechanized in our view. One of my students who's gone on to do brilliant work said to me, it now puts her teeth on edge when somebody says, how do you use this plant? Right. I mean, how would we feel if you said, well, Susan, I'd like you to meet Shonda. And I'd say, oh, how do we use Shonda?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, it's a little off-putting, isn't it, Shonda? It's like,
well, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, not that we don't want to serve and be useful. Certainly we do. But on the other hand, this focus on how do I use the plant rather than having a relationship with the plant.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I want to help us re-embrace the plants as living, mm-hmm. sentient beings who are very happy to work with us. But like all beings who are happy to work with us, they like respect.
Yes.
Just like we do. One of the things we find out about working in groups is respect goes a long, long way. So rather than just seeing the plant as something that we've been given to use, seeing the plants as our ancestors, because they are, aren't they? The plants were here first. Mm-hmm. The plants were here first, and without them, we wouldn't be here. They provide us shelter, heat, clothing, food, medicine, containers, beauty. What don't the plants give us?
That's true.
Right? Look around your life and remove plants from it. Ooh, it would be back to naked people rolling in the plants, wouldn't it?
It's true. It's kind of bare and ugly, wouldn't it?
So I like to encourage people to take a moment to breathe with the plants. Because every breath is a giveaway dance. As I said before, we breathe out. And what we breathe out, the plants breathe in. And the plants breathe out, and what they breathe out, we breathe in. Mm-hmm. So in a direct and true sense, doesn't have to be metaphysical at all, it's directly physical, the plants and you share breath.
That's why I like smelling flowers so much.
Getting up close and intimate with the plants, mm-hmm. right? But if we think about this a little more deeply, the breath that we're sharing is atoms of carbon and oxygen, right?
Right.
Where we breathe that carbon dioxide, which means one carbon atom, and two oxygen atoms.
Right.
And that goes into the plant, and the plant wants to photosynthesize, but it needs carbon monoxide, so it has to cleave an oxygen off. I'm simplifying this. And that oxygen then is put back into the atmosphere where we breathe it in.
Right.
These atoms of oxygen and carbon don't die, and there isn't a way to create any more. So every atom of carbon and oxygen that is transpiring between you and the plant is not just between you and a particular plant, but between you and all plants, and between all plants and all people. And that's through all time. Those atoms that you're breathing in right now were in the lungs of dinosaurs.
Wow, you're really getting deep here. Wow.
We don't have to be metaphysical at all. The physical reality is enough to blow your mind.
Yeah. Wow.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Plants are our ancestors, and every breath is a giveaway dance that brings into us all of the wisdom of everything that has ever lived on this planet. Plant or animal. All we have to do is take that moment to recognize it.
Recognize and appreciate.
Recognize and appreciate. Make it as important as checking your email. Say, have I checked in with my breath recently?
Really?
Right? If only our breath would have a little blinking red light going, You have a new message waiting you.
Yeah, you have mail. Wow.
Wow.
I told you she was good.
This is one of the first assignments that the apprentices get, which is to choose a plant and breathe with it for 10 minutes a day. They have to sit right by the plant for their 10 minutes for the first 10 days.
Okay.
Many people have heard that every cell in your body is replaced every 7 years. Have you heard that?
I've heard it's actually more frequent than that.
Well, it depends on what part of the body we're talking about.
Okay.
So the lining of the digestive tract is replaced every 24 hours.
You're right. Yeah, some parts are very quickly. I've heard it's like every 28 days that the body is completely, I mean, like, the bones take a little longer, but it's like
a lot longer. The liver turns over in 30 days. Mm-hmm. The kidneys in 60 days. Okay. So different parts,
right,
are replaced, different kinds of time. Everything, yes, including the bones, is replaced in a 7-year cycle. However,
okay,
that's if we're looking at the largest scale. If we drop down again into the molecular and then atomic scale, mm-hmm. atomic turnover is 7 days.
Okay.
Every atom in your body has been replaced with a different atom in a 7-day cycle.
Okay.
So if you breathe with a plant consciously for 10 minutes a day for 10 days, you will have become
part new person. Of
that plant.
Yeah.
You will have taken that much of that plant atomically into every cell that you have made. At that point, the apprentice can then breathe with her plant at a distance if she chooses. Because they are now very much the same thing.
Yeah, energetically, they are.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Not just energetically, physically, because breathing, we absorb the oxygens and make the atoms and make ourselves of those atoms.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
We don't have to take leave of our bodies in the physical world to really understand the miracle that is happening at every moment. So the plants fit into this directly through the breath, and then directly through our consuming them, so that we get optimum nutrition. Let me talk about this a little bit, because I think it's quite fascinating. We think, calcium. I'll take a calcium supplement. And we go out to buy calcium, and we discovered that there are different forms of calcium, right?
Right.
So if we get calcium-fortified orange juice, that contains calcium citrate. And if we go to get calcium pills, we might get calcium lactate.
Right.
And if we get a little supplement of non-ascorbic vitamin C, we'd have calcium ascorbate. So these are three different forms of calcium among the hundreds of different forms of calcium. Now, to get, again, just a little deep, hang in with me. It's not going to get too terrible. Remember back in school, and there was the periodic table of elements on the wall. Well, the first good news is they've changed it. It's now a spiral, and it's in color.
Okay.
Instead of those chunky black and white boxes, and things are ever so much better because you can really see the relationships and feel them.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Much better. But I know we're all remembering the chunky black and white boxes there, the calcium and magnesium and iron and potassium and all of the, you know, the minerals, the elements there. Well, elemental minerals are completely unusable by life forms.
Okay.
And that is because atomically, the cloud of electrons that is going around the nucleus is intact. And that means it's not interactive. One of the things that makes oxygen a free radical is that that cloud of electrons is open, and so it can interact with a lot of things. So the elemental minerals have to be acted on by soil bacteria and turned into their salt forms. Calcium lactate, calcium ascorbate, and so on are salt forms of calcium. And only the salt forms of a mineral are usable by living tissues.
Okay.
When we take a pill, how many forms do we get?
Okay, one form.
This is like going to a symphony. The curtain comes up, and on stage is the first violin. What happened to the symphony?
Yeah.
Where's the rest of the instruments?
Right.
And they might say, well, the first violin, everybody follows the first violin. You don't need the rest of it.
Right, yeah.
Why do we like to hear five or six violins playing the same thing at once? Because they're ever so slightly different.
Exactly.
And that's what makes life rich. That's what really nourishes. When I say that there's 250 milligrams of calcium in every cup of nettle infusion, or 1,000 milligrams of calcium in that quart of nettle infusion, I don't necessarily mean by scientific measurement. I mean by activity in your body.
Okay.
Because you are getting this mix of different forms of calcium. And this is why it has such an impact on your body.
And on that note, how about really quickly, because we're on our last 60 seconds.
Oh, no.
Can you tell everybody, I know it passed so quickly, can you tell everybody how they can find you, how they can reach you if they want to? We're at 30 seconds now, so very, very quickly.
SusanWeed.com. You can keep the sun in Susan. We have SusanWeed.com. We have SusanWeed.com, so spell it or misspell it. You get to SusanWeed.com. Come and visit me. Check me out on YouTube. I have a huge YouTube channel. Remember, herbal medicine is people's medicine. It's the medicine that grows right outside your door. Green blessings.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Susan. And come, everybody, and come and see her at the Transformation Conference. And that'll be April 5th through the 7th. She'll be the keynote speaker on Friday night. So wonderful.
Wait, it can't be Friday night, the conference.
Well, no, I don't know when it is. Wednesday night. Well, that's right. See, I'm used to, no, it's not Friday night. I'm used to it being Friday through Sunday. So, see, I missed that. Don't listen to me, everybody.
Right. Look at the website. Midweek.
Yeah, midweek. It's midweek. Okay, wait, we got to go. Love you all. We'll see you when we get back from Peru. Love you. Bye.